It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Prince Luke has returned. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your very first order. Now, as always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and of course, you can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And hey, if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button, drop us a review, leave us some stars, share the podcast on your social media. I would sincerely appreciate it. Now, Luke Mbamute is a Houston Rocket once again, but before I dive into the hype, and honestly, there is some hype behind it. It's a big signing. Now, before I dive into that, I'm going to also provide a steady dose of reality, but I don't want to tamper the expectations just a little bit. But first things first, we have to talk about Tabo Cephalosha and him opting out of the Orlando restart, because that's what made all this possible. So first things first is this is unfortunate because Tabo Cephalosha, had he opted out of the Orlando restart sooner, the Rockets would have been able to have that open roster spot and not necessarily need to waive Isaiah Hartenstein. And rather than just signing Luke Mbamute to the substitution contract, which is what he's on right now. So Luke is only signed for the remainder of this season. He's not locked down for any future seasons. Had Tabo expressed his worries about Orlando sooner, had they been able to potentially waive him, they could have potentially retained Isaiah Hartenstein. And I know that's going to be hard for some people to stomach. It was for me, because let's face it, Isaiah Hartenstein is a young, promising big. And maybe even if he wasn't in the plans for the Rockets further down the line, as far as rotation minutes and, you know, actually playing somebody that's, you know, taller than 6'7", or I guess I should say 6'9", Jeff Green, shout out, sorry. Anyways, point is, maybe if he wasn't in their plans for actual rotational minutes, they could have maybe dealt him this summer for like a second round draft pick or some cash considerations or something, rather than waiving him and biting a $900,000 bullet in order to sign David Nwaba and get him locked down for next season. So that part is my first little bit about everything going on. So Tabo Cephalosha opting out of the Orlando restart, and the timing on it was just unfortunate. Now, the signing of Luke is pretty big, and there were some indications that this was in the works. Luke had worked out for the Rockets before this season, and there was mutual interest there about, you know, just bringing him back into the fold. Now, the issue was, is he healthy? That's the biggest concern with Luke. So he had the great 17-18 season here, that first season with CP3, and then he left to go back and sign with the Clippers for the 18-19 season, but he was never healthy. You know, he struggled with the shoulder injury that he also struggled with here at the tail end of that 17-18 season, which is why he wasn't right for the playoffs that year. And then he also struggled with some knee issues. So the concern with Luke has never been about his ability to play the game. He is the like perfect ideal 3-and-D wing for this system, or for really any system in the NBA. If for any team in the NBA, he is a great 3-and-D wing. He can space the floor. He is athletic. He's a phenomenal defender, great defensive instincts. We saw a lot of that during the 17-18 campaign when he was here. The concern has always been about his health. And it seems now that the Rockets have done their due diligence, and they believe that with this signing, they believe that he is healthy enough to be at least a contributing member of this rotation. And that speaks volumes, because if they didn't think that he was healthy, they wouldn't have wasted the money on signing him. They wouldn't just bring him in just to say, okay, we're just going to bring you in and let you ride the bench. No, he's more than likely going to be a rotation player. Now, what does that mean for other guys' minutes further down the line? Ben McLemore, Damari Carroll, those guys, we'll get more on that in a little bit. I do want to talk about the rotation, kind of what that's going to look like. But coming up, I do want to talk about some of the numbers behind Luka Mbamute and just kind of his impact on the actual court. And so we're going to look at some of his numbers from a couple years ago, the 17-18 season, and we'll get there in just a quick second after a quick word from our friends over at Blinkist. Let me tell you about one of the most useful apps on my phone. So Blinkist, it's unique. It works on your phone, tablet, even your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can listen to. Things like self-help books or cooking books or just all the latest bestsellers, Blinkist has them, and they condense them down just so that you can listen to them on the go, whether you're running errands, you're working, doing chores around the house, whatever it may be. That way you don't have to actually sit down and read, because let's face it, sometimes you don't have time to do that anymore. With Blinkist, you get an unlimited access to listen to this massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, on all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/MBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, discussing the signing of Luke Mbamute, the return of the Prince. Now, before I go into that a little bit further, I do want to just revisit the Thabo situation one more time. Now, right after the news broke that Thabo wasn't heading to Orlando, I did kind of post on Twitter just to clarify. Look, it wasn't that much of a painful loss with Thabo, if only because he wasn't expected to get rotation minutes. And say Thabo hadn't gone to Orlando and Luke hadn't been signed, those minutes would have still just fallen into the lap of either Damari Carroll or Ben McLemore situationally. And I think that's kind of where the rotation has been at, is you've got your top five guys, then you've got Eric Gordon and, but your starting five guys, which includes Daniel House Jr., at least as far as we know right now. Then you've got your first two guys off the bench, Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers. Jeff Green has filled that niche role in the backup five spot for about 10 to 15 minutes a game. So that's your top eight guys right there. So then it comes down to the ninth man. Who was going to be that ninth man? Ben McLemore or Damari Carroll? Situationally, that ninth man is now more than likely going to be Luke Mbamute. And I've got the numbers here that I want to share with you, because looking at his net rating splits with the remaining Rockets that were on the 17-18 team that are still here, so James Harden, PJ Tucker, and Eric Gordon, looking at these net rating numbers, it's just incredible to see how good some of these two player splits are, and imagining him, you know, and I will tamper the expectations a little bit, because we don't know if he's going to be the same Luka Mbamute from the 17-18 campaign. I think there's an expectation that he can be close to that same player, but expecting the exact same caliber of player is probably a little overzealous at this point, because he has dealt with injuries. He hasn't had a full season under his belt in over a year and a half. He missed the entire 18-19 season and was eventually waived by the Clippers in April. And then he hasn't played this season at all. So expecting him to be able to jump back into things and be at the exact same level of player he was during the 17-18 season is a little unrealistic. But I do still think that if he can come and bring to the table like 80% of what that was, I think that's more than enough to beat out Damari Carroll and Ben McLemore for that final rotation spot for some legitimate minutes in the rotation, because of a bunch of different factors. And I'll get to those in just a second, but first things first, these numbers. So it's three different splits. It's three different two-player splits. Luke with one each of James Harden, PJ Tucker, and Eric Gordon, the three remaining Rockets from the 17-18 campaign. So the first with James Harden, and these aren't small sample sizes. With James Harden, he had over 1,000 minutes played. With PJ Tucker, he had 900 minutes played. And with Eric Gordon, he had 800 minutes played in 59 games for Harden and Tucker, and then 49 games alongside Eric Gordon. That is a substantial sample size. So this isn't like some tiny little, oh, he's great for this little 10-game stretch, or, you know, it's only 200 minutes or 150 minutes. It isn't anything like that. These numbers mean something. So with James Harden on the court, they had an offensive rating of 115.3 and a defensive rating of 99.6 for a net rating of 15.8, which is incredible. Then it gets even better with PJ Tucker. With PJ Tucker, in 904 minutes, they had an offensive rating of 115 and a defensive rating of 97.2 for a total net rating of 17.7. And then lastly, Eric Gordon, in 809 minutes played together, they had an offensive rating of 112.5 and a defensive rating of 101.7 for a net rating of 10.8. These differentials are insane. And I think the main one that I want to look at is the PJ Tucker one. Because if you think back to the 17-18 season, the special thing about that team, especially headed into the second half, the latter half of the season, as Ryan Anderson, you know, as Ryan Anderson lost his starting spot to PJ Tucker, the Rockets basically switched to this rotation of forwards where at any point in the game, they had two of Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, and Luka Mbamute on the court together. And at times, they would even run all three of them together. Very, very rarely, but there were times where three of them would be on the court at the same time. And now you have that opportunity again with a forward rotation of 3-and-D incredibly defensive savvy forwards in PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, and Luka Mbamute. Now, I know that PJ Tucker is the five in this new system, but with the Rockets and the way they play defense and their switch everything scheme, that doesn't matter as much as just having multiple guys on the court with length, with defensive IQ, who can defend multiple positions. And Luke is a guy who can defend positions one through five. There were even points where, if you'll remember in that 17-18 campaign, where they rolled out Luka Mbamute against Rudy Gobert, of all people, and played him at the five. And that was a game where Luke went off in that fourth quarter against the Jazz, where he was playing the five against Gobert and had a monster fourth quarter. And so I think now with this small ball system, it fits his strengths even more so, because he's a guy, Luke is 6'8", he's got a 7-foot wingspan, he fits in with that idea of a player who is, you know, who has a lot of length, who not necessarily isn't a tall player, but has a, you know, a wingspan to make up for the height difference. And that kind of matches the thing that I spoke about with David Nwaba, how he's a, you know, a 6'5 guy, but he's got a 7-foot wingspan. So looking at that and looking at his potential place in this rotation, it's just you add in another guy who is a 3-and-D wing who can switch positions 1 through 5 and who fits into everything that the Rockets want to try and accomplish. My only concern with him is he never really got into the, I guess, let it fly mentality from the 17-18 Rockets. He only ever, his averages from behind the arc were 2.8 a game. Not great. That's not a lot of three-point attempts in about 25 minutes played. So my only concern is there were times where he was a bit more reluctant to shoot the ball, or a little bit hesitant to shoot the ball. And we saw that at points throughout this past season. And I made sure to harp on it whenever it would happen, that when the role players suddenly decide to be hesitant when it comes to shooting the three ball, that's when we see the offense start to stagnate and have issues. Because if you have an open three-point shot, you have to take it. Craig and Matt on the broadcast, they're always saying the same thing. When there's an open three-point shot in the system, you absolutely have to take that shot. And that's my one reservation with Luke, is that it feels like just with his release, he's got one of the slower releases. If you go back and watch any film of Luke, his release is absurdly slow, unfortunately. And then not only that, again, the decision making. Sometimes there would be a wide open shot and he would hesitate and not take it. Now, whether that's because of the slow release or just being hesitant for the sake of being hesitant, I don't know. But that's my one area of concern with him, as far as past just, you know, is he healthy? Because again, I don't think the Rockets would have made the decision to sign him and bring him in if he weren't healthy and ready to be able to contribute in some capacity to what they're trying to accomplish in Orlando. So coming up, I do want to talk about the rotations and kind of what the expectations are from Luke in Orlando. And we'll get there in just a second after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like your mortgage or rent or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? With rockauto.com, they have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you want to spend twice as much for the same parts? So be sure to go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Discussing the Rockets signing of forward Luke Mbamute and kind of what that means moving into the restart of the season in Orlando. And so I kind of already talked about the rotation a little bit and kind of the expectations that I honestly think that Luke will kind of jump directly past Ben McLemore and Damari Carroll for rotation minutes, and that's for a variety of factors. One, he is, you know, and this is all on the premise that he's healthy, right? This is all on the premise that he is healthy and ready to play basketball. One, he has more size than both of those guys. He's got a longer wingspan than both of those guys. And the other thing that we've seen time and time again with Mike D'Antoni is he's played in Mike D'Antoni's system before. He is comfortable with the system. Mike D'Antoni's familiar with him as a player. And I think that, you know, as far as being a veteran in that sense, yes, Damari Carroll is also a veteran, but I think because he's played in MDA's system before, I think he will get the nod over both of those guys for legitimate rotation minutes as long as he's able to contribute. Now, that doesn't mean that Damari Carroll might still see a little bit of burn or Ben McLemore might get a little bit of time when they really need some shooting, but that kind of leads me into this final point that I want to make and really drive home is the 17-18 squad was able to hang their hat on not only their offense but also their defense. They were a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. The Rockets haven't been a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense since that team. And they weren't a top 10 defense that 17-18 campaign either the first year with Mike D'Antoni. So there's a reason that 17-18 team felt so dominant is because when you have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense, you can rely on both sides of the basketball to get you through a game. I can't count the number of times that the Rockets were able to pull out stops when necessary during that 17-18 season simply because they did it on a regular basis, whereas it feels like this current team really has to rely on just obliterating their opponent offensively and hoping that they don't have a drought long enough for the opponent to climb back in because the defense hasn't felt great all season. That being said, one of those reasons is because you look at the 17-18 team and, God, I've said 17-18 team a lot and it's like, it's one of those like say it 10 times fast and 17-18 team, anyways. You look at that team from 2017-2018. They had, especially once they moved to bench Ryan Anderson and slot PJ Tucker into the starting lineup, everybody was a net positive on the defensive side of the basketball, with the exception of maybe one James Harden. And even then, James wasn't a negative on the defensive side of the ball. But you look down the entire roster, Chris Paul, defensive player, Trevor Ariza, defensive plus, PJ Tucker, defensive plus, Clint Capella, defensive plus, Luke Mbamute, defensive plus, Eric Gordon, defensive plus. All down the lineup, you had defensive pluses. Maybe not Gerald Green, but again, he's kind of was in the Ben McLemore role where you use him sparingly. So my point with that is that team, never had defensive liabilities. It never felt like they had defensive breakdowns or miscommunications. It felt like everybody was on the same page about the importance of that side of the basketball. And with the addition of Luke, now you have a team where if you look down the current lineup, the current roster, you can make the argument that the only two players now, if that's the rotation that you're running, if Luke becomes your ninth man, then you can make the argument that the rotation that you're running, there's only two guys that are, I guess, neutrals on the defensive end, or at times, negatives on the defensive side of the basketball, and that's James Harden again and Russell Westbrook. And my thing is there isn't a reason for that anymore. Is that now with James and Russ being able to share the load offensively, there's no exception. There's no reason for James to say, oh, you know, I shoulder so much of the load offensively. You know, I take some plays off defensively. Same thing for Russ. They can rely on each other. And there's not as much of a need for them to use so much of their energy on the offensive side of the ball and not be able to put forth their best effort defensively. And I say that because we've all seen it. We've seen it where they, you know, one of them will take a play off, or they lose track of the ball, or they get caught ball watching, and their defensive assignment, you know, has a quick backdoor cut for an easy two, something along those lines, right? We've seen it time and time again. But we've also seen plays where both of those guys are completely locked in defensively, and they're more than athletic enough and capable enough to be plus defenders on that side of the ball. Now, I'm not asking, you know, Harden or Westbrook to suddenly become DPOY caliber defenders, no. But if they can just be like slightly positive, slightly plus on that side of the basketball alongside other defenders like PJ Tucker, like Robert Covington, like Daniel House Jr., who I'm giving him a little bit more credit than he deserves, but, you know, he's got size and length, and he tries, you know, every possession on the defensive side of the ball. And then guy, you know, Rivers, Gordon, now Luke Mbamute. Thinking about a lineup where you can have three defensive-minded players alongside Russ and James is incredible. And then even more so when you move to the bench units where it's just one of Russ or James on the court, and then you could have a lineup of four defensive-minded players out there alongside, or, you know, four two-way type players out there alongside one of Russ or James Harden. That seems to mimic the 2017-2018 team quite a bit more than what this team looked like to start the season. Now, obviously, this team is completely different than what the start of the season looked like, and getting Luke signed and getting him into Orlando and getting him to be a part of the training camp will give him a chance to get acclimated, get, you know, build some chemistry with his new teammates and everything. And I do want to tamper the expectations a little bit again, because he might not be the same player from that 65-win Rockets team. It's very possible that he, you know, is still struggling with the knee issues, or that his shoulder isn't 100%, but it's good enough to play. You know, we don't know any of those specifics quite just yet, and we won't know what it looks like until he actually hits the court. But I'm excited because it gives the Rockets what they needed, which is another true 3-and-D wing. Is they were looking for that addition, and it should have been Damari Carroll, and for whatever reason, Damari just wasn't getting minutes right out of the gate, and at times, MDA was still opting to run with Ben McLemore, and that's okay. Like, I want to make it perfectly clear, I'm not against Ben McLemore getting minutes. I'm not. I'm against him getting extended minutes, and I don't think he should get minutes when Russ and James are also on the court, because then that gives you three guys on the defense, one that drops your size substantially, because Russ is 6'3", Harden's 6'5", and Ben McLemore is another 6'3". So if you're running three of those three guys at the exact same time, then you are a very, very small team, and it puts a lot of pressure on the two forwards, more than likely, you know, PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, and Daniel House Jr., whatever mix and match set of forwards you have out there, it puts a lot of pressure on them to, you know, catch every loose ball, to you know, soar for the rebounds, because those three guys aren't going to, you know, aren't as imposing with their height, with their physical stature, as, you know, somebody like Damari Carroll, who's, you know, quite a bit taller, or Luke Mbamute standing at 6'8". You know, size is important in the NBA. Even though it is quote-unquote small ball, it's still important to have some size out there. So I'm not against Ben McLemore getting minutes. I'm just against him getting minutes when it feels like it's to the detriment of the team's defense. Now, you put Ben McLemore out there when it's the Russ-only lineup, or you put Ben McLemore out there when it's just him and James Harden, and he's still going to get the same number of open looks that he would if he was out there with Russ and James. And I think that's just as important, because you can slot Ben McLemore in for 5-10 minutes a game and, you know, let him toss up a couple three-pointers, and if he misses the first two or three attempts from behind the arc, then you sit him. If he drills them, great. He needs to be in that Gerald Green lightning in a bottle off the bench type role, where you don't rely on him for extended minutes, but you throw him in there and, you know, you draw up a couple plays specifically for him so that you make the most of his 2, 3, 5 minutes on the court, rather than putting him out there and having him be a liability on the defensive side of the ball, because that's exactly what he is. He is a liability defensively. So, sorry, I didn't want to go too much into a Ben McLemore rabbit hole, but I just wanted to make that point, is that I'm not against him getting minutes. But back to Luke Mbamute, I do think that he is a guy who, again, he can slot in and play any, he can guard 1 through 5 on that side of the, on the defensive side of the ball. He is a great complementary piece in this system, the great defensive IQ, the length. Thinking about, and here's my thing, is thinking about a closing lineup of, say, Russ, Harden, Covington, Bamute, and PJ Tucker, just thinking about the defensive lockdown capabilities of that lineup. Like, you want to talk about PJ Tucker and Robert Covington putting the clamps on opposing players this, you know, in the short amount of time we got to see them play together before the season was suspended. Think about those two guys with another defender equally as talented as them out there locking down guys left and right, you know, clogging passing lanes, making the right reads, stripping the ball. Just, I am excited for it, because here's the thing, is offensively, you don't need more than Russ and Harden. You really don't. Like, Ben McLemore is great. It's great that he's shooting 40% from behind the arc, but I don't think his 40% is as effective on the court as, say, a guy like Mbamute, who's probably going to shoot about 34 or 35%, but provides you leaps and bounds better defense on the other side of the court. So, with James and Harden, with two guys, or sorry, James and Harden, wow, with Russ and Harden, you've got two guys who on any given night are going to give you their 30 plus, right? 30 and 10 for Russ, you know, 35 and 8 from James. These two guys are going to fill up the stat sheet, and they're going to be able to shoulder so much of the offensive load that the only other thing that the players on the court next to them have to do is hit the occasional three ball. You know, there was a really good Ringer article that was done kind of explaining the fact that Rockets not named James Harden and Russell Westbrook are only shooting 35% from behind the arc on wide open shots. And it would be significantly better if that number were to be able to, you know, tick up to, say, 40 or 45% on wide open looks, because let's face it, you get so many wide open looks playing with Russ and James that if you're not converting on a steady clip of those, then you can't really, like, at that point, the it's not that the offensive system is wrong. It's not that things are not working the way they're supposed to. Players just have to convert on shots. And I am the first one to say I really hate the old adage of, oh, well, we just didn't hit our shots. I've harped on that before. But when you generate those wide open shots and you're just not hitting them, then that is kind of an issue, and that kind of falls just on the players. But again, with Russ and James, you don't need more offense than just those two guys. Those two guys plus 3-and-D wings next to them is more than enough to win a game. And I'm excited at the prospect of seeing what these lineups are going to look like and who MDA favors once we get our preseason games in Orlando. So I think that's a good spot to kind of wrap things up for today. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.